Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
We're going to be talking about a very Jewish holiday today called Purim. I'm a Texan, I call it Purim. So the Feast of Purim, it comes from Esther. Now, to open up the, get you the stage set, there was a king of the Persian Empire by the name of Ahasuerus, and his queen was Vashti. Well, Queen Vashti, she publicly disrespected the king, and so he had her publicly dethroned. Very strict times in the Persian Empire. So the king wanted to find another queen. So he said, let's get all these women together and bring them in. And whoever pleased the king the most got to take over Vashti's place as queen. Kind of like our big kingdom-wide beauty pageant, so to speak. So there was a Jewish man named Mordecai. He lived within the kingdom. And Mordecai raised up his uncle's daughter as his own daughter. And her name was Esther. That's where we get the book of Esther, okay? So Esther was required to enter into this pageant that the king was having. But Mordecai said, keep it a secret that you're Jewish. Don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. So she goes into the pageant. Now, who do you think won the whole pageant? I mean, this girl must have been hot, okay? She won the whole thing. Esther 2:7 says the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight. More than all the virgins, so he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Okay, so here you go. Here goes our story. Interesting, though, that Esther had no desire to win. She didn't even want to go to this contest, but apparently God had his own plans for her to be put in that position. So now, bam, Mordecai's daughter, Esther, she is the queen of the entire Persian Empire now. So, after this happened, though, Mordecai just happened. You say just happened. God made it happen. But Mordecai just happened to hear two men who were plotting to kill the king. Esther 2:22. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows. Okay, so now Mordecai saved the king's life. Now, there's this other man that the king had recently promoted to the office of prime minister. His name was Haman. Haman was a descendant of King Agag. He's got Gag right in the middle of his name, right? He was a descendant of King Agag, who was king of the Amalekites. Now, who are the Amalekites? The Amalekites are those cowards that attacked Israel from the back, where the older people, the more sick, the younger people attacked them from the back while Israel was on their way out of Egypt. So a little side story real quick. We need to understand the background of these Amalekites so that we can understand Haman. So Moses had the military commander at his time, Joshua. He had him defend the Israelites. Watch this. Exodus 17:13. So Joshua defeated Amalek. See, the Amalekites. Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, guys, as from this story alone, you can tell it just ticks God off to no end. When people mess with Israel, all those nations messing with Israel, they are going to answer to the Lord God in the same way. But you can tell that the Lord does not like the Amalekites for what they did. The Amalekites are sworn enemies of God's people, Israel. So now, you see the problem now, don't you, between Haman and Mordecai. They are going to be the sworn enemy guys because of this event that happened to Israel. But you've got Mordecai, he saved the king's life, and now the king's prime minister is an Amalekite. You've got two prominent guys in the kingdom right under this king, and both are going to have a problem. But that's why it was wisdom for Mordecai to tell Esther to keep her Jewish identity secret. Don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. Esther 3 and 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of whoever, put the hammer down, Hammedatha, the Agagite, see, he was an Agag, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy, get this guys, read this. Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So he's going to kill every Jew in the entire kingdom. Do we have a map next? It was huge, guys. Millions of people in this thing. It was giant. And Mordecai was not bowing to Haman, and it set him off so bad that he wanted to kill every Jew. Guys, this is mass genocide. Huge. If you think Hitler killed a lot of Jews, look at what Haman's plan was for mass genocide that he wanted to do. The only problem is that Haman had to come up with a slick way to trick the king into letting him execute this plan. He needed the authority to do it. So here he goes, Esther 3 and 8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed." Okay, the Jews were not outlaws. They were abiding people. They did what the Persian law said. Haman lied. Now, what is Satan's language? Lying. If you're a liar, you're speaking Satan's language. You need to speak your father's language. Whoever your father is, you're going to speak his language. I try to speak the truth because God is my father. Don't lie. That's the devil's language. Don't do that. The Jews were not outlaws. Haman lied just like an Amalekite terrorist would. Now this was, guys, I want y'all to understand that this was Satan's attempt to kill all the Jews. Because if the Jews don't exist, then God would be a liar because God has promised many, many things that would come through the Jewish people. And that's why they're still against Israel today. If they can wipe Israel out and take out all the Jews, then all the promises that God said would come through the Jewish people ain't coming true. God's a liar. You don't need to believe in God. It's all shot. If all the Jews had been killed from the earth, then even the Davidic covenant would be cut off, preventing our salvation through Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Do you see how from this, what Haman's trying to do, Haman tried to cut off your chance at being saved. Do you see that? Okay. He tried to steal your salvation from you. The Jewish Messiah, Jesus, he's of the Jews. In fact, Esther herself was a direct descendant of King David's line. Haman lied to the king. Big, bold-faced lie. Esther 3 and 10. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Okay, the passing of a signet ring was the passing of authority. when you did a document or a decree, you would put wax on it and you would push that signet ring in there, and it would have a royal seal on it that means this is now bound. You can't undo it. It's as it is because it's got royal authority on top of it. So now Haman, he's got the signet ring. Haman was given all the authority he needed to draft his decree to have all the Jews in the whole empire destroyed. So Haman got together with his advisors to decide when to execute this murderous plan. Esther 3 and 7. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur. See that? What's today? This is Purim. Okay, they cast Pur, that is the lot, which means like dice or something like it. So they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day, the month, and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Okay, why did they throw lots? Maybe they're, you got terrorists here. They can't agree, probably. There must have been a disagreement in Haman's cabinet or something on when to set this plan off. So they threw lots to decide when. Now, the Hebrew word for lot, like dice, is pur, okay? But the plural is Purim. And this is where we get the name of the Feast of Purim. Esther 3, verse 12. In the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. So papers went out. Here comes their annihilation day. And all the Jews are going to be destroyed. Everybody in the kingdom that hated the Jews, here's your permission. You get to kill every Jew you see, and everybody do it. So they let the whole empire know about it. So here comes their annihilation day, and that was going to be within about 1 year from this time. But we still have Mordecai, okay? We still have Mordecai, who is a known Jew who had saved the king's life from assassination, plus his daughter Esther. She's a Jew, nobody knows yet, but she's the queen, and they're right under the king's nose. Something really big is about to clash, isn't it? So Haman had letters sent out all over the kingdom to terrify the Jews about their execution date that was coming up. Meanwhile, behind the palace walls, Esther had no idea this was going on. She's back there doing her royal stuff as queen. And so Mordecai sent a copy of the decree to her to see it for herself. And Mordecai also sent her a message that it's probably now the time to reveal that you're Jewish. You probably better say something. If there was a time to say it, it should be now. So Esther replied back to him in Esther 4 and 10. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called in to go in to see the king these 30 days. Okay, so he's like, you need to say you're a Jew. You need to go talk to the king. She goes, I can't just go in there. It was a serious breach of royal protocol for anybody to approach the king without being invited. If he didn't extend his scepter to you, that was the invitation. If the king chose to extend his scepter to that person, then they were spared from being condemned from death. Now, scepter is that staff that the kings hold in their hand. It's held by a ruler. It is a symbol of authority. So Esther's problem here is she hasn't seen the king in 30 days. She hasn't seen the king for a month, and she hasn't been asked to go and see the king. So she can't just march right in to see him, because according to Persian law, her entry could be taken as a disrespectful intrusion with the penalty of death. The king already had Queen Vashti taken off the throne. She could be killed for walking in there and say, hey, I got something I need to tell you right now. So here's the next problem, right? She can't just go in there. Esther 4 and 13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So Mordecai basically stated, look, the Jews are going to be saved one way or another. God is going to fight for his people. But if you don't speak up, and if you don't say that you're a Jew, if the king does not kill you for violation of protocol, then the decree will kill you instead. You better say something now. You're going to die from breach of royal protocol or from the decree. Either way, you're not safe behind the palace walls. Once they find out, you're gone. So you better say something and at least take that chance, because maybe the Lord God put you here to save all the people. I think that was wisdom. So speak up. So however, if you do speak up, God probably installed you as queen just to save everybody. So Esther replied back to Mordecai. In Esther 4:16, she says, fast for me. Look at that. She's going right into prayer. Guys, this is how you get through tough times. You put in a tough spot, this is how you react, okay? She says, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. This woman's brave. She's going to stand for the defense of her people. Nice. Esther 5:1. Check this out. Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that he killed her. No, God's involved in this, guys. Watch this. That she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Yes, this is exciting. You just know God's doing this. He has to be. So she found favor with the king, and so she was not going to be condemned to die. So the king let her say whatever was on her mind. So Esther says, hey, I want to have a banquet and I want y'all both to come. And now she's so Haman's so excited about this. And Haman, oh, he is just, oh, I am the best thing. I got invited to the royal banquet. I must be something else. The king and queen want me at their party. I am going where you can't go. I am something. Esther 5:9. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. This guy is just mad. He's upset about Mordecai. Verse 14. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. I don't think so. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. Okay, guys, Haman has no idea what he's walking into. He has no idea the trap that he's coming into. And this trap is of the Lord's own doing. Watch the Lord intervene here. Check this out. Esther 6:1. Something just happens to go down. Watch this. That night, the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Those records must be boring. Maybe they thought that'd put him to sleep. I don't know. Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor and dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. So the Lord kept the king up at night. Okay, that we see that. So they brought the law, and they just happened to find this this part in all the records, the Lord directed the king's men to land right on Mordecai's record of what Mordecai did to save the king's life. So apparently the king didn't know, I guess, that it was Mordecai who had saved his life from this assassination plot. So the king said, hey, we've got to send somebody to reward Mordecai for his loyalty. We got to find somebody to go and honor this guy. Who do you think is going to have to do this? Esther 6 and 4. So the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court. Here I am. I love this story, guys. I mean, this is just good. Now, Haman just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, Haman's there, standing in court. Let's go get him. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now, Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? He thinks he's talking about him. Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew. Yes. Do this for Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Leave nothing undone, all that you have spoken. But Haman's like, I should have shut my mouth, man. Verse 11. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. I bet he just loved having to do that. Friends, this is what pride will do to you. This is what being prideful, thinking you're so hot, you're so awesome, I'm the best thing there ever was. This is what happens to you. Scripture says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Mordecai didn't run around looking to be glorified. Hey, I saved your life, king. Why don't you do something for me? Mordecai didn't care. He was humble. These guys are complete opposites. One got lifted up, one got pushed down. But can you imagine just how much it burned Haman up to have to do this to Mordecai, to parade him around with honor? The one man on the entire earth that refused to bow to Haman is the one that Haman was forced to give honor to. Isn't that something else? God has a way of telling you how things are going to be. We don't tell God, right? So Mordecai was raised up, but Haman was humiliated, down, and he ran home to cry to his family about it. And he was playing the victim card. But guys, get this. While he was whining, while he was, oh, what I had to do. While he was whining, the king's people showed up to take him to Esther's banquet. Oh, it ain't over with you yet, Haman.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life. You'll be set for life.